If you happen to have your Bibles, if you will turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but I think it's very appropriate for today. And I hope you get something out of this morning. I got a lot out of this as I was studying and preparing for this message today, and I hope the Lord allows me to communicate some of this to you this morning. Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, I got to be honest with you. I enjoyed last week. I enjoyed last weekend as we celebrated Easter. We had breakfast on Saturday. That was a lot of fun to me. I mean, just the prep work, the fellowship that we had, eating together, the lesson that the ladies brought. Then fast forward to that afternoon when we had kids and adults having fun here, not only looking for eggs, but playing on in the bouncy house and sliding down the slide. And you know what? Even the bad weather outside didn't stop that. It was just a wonderful time. We came together on Easter Sunday morning. We had a wonderful time in Sunday school. We had our Easter service with outstanding music and a message and a celebration of Holy Communion. Our time of celebrating Easter last week to me was just awesome. I got a lot out of it. I hope you did as well. But I want you to answer this question for me. What changed Monday morning because of our celebration last weekend? What changed? It probably didn't feel like the world changed a whole lot. We still had the same job, or we were still looking for one. We still had the same responsibilities that we had before Easter. They were still there waiting for us. Our schedules didn't look any different. Probably just more of the same world that we live in. Is the world any different today because of the Easter that we celebrated last Sunday? Well, to kind of help answer that, we need to remember a couple of things. As Christians, we don't just celebrate it. We don't just celebrate Easter. We live it. Each and every day that comes, we live it. Or we should. We should. It's not just a holiday when we put on our Sunday best and our kids look for eggs and they play and we come together for a meal. We should be a different people because of what happened on Easter. Jesus is risen, and we're invited to believe in Him and to come and follow Him. We're forgiven, we're redeemed, and God's grace covers us. We celebrate it because our sin debt has been paid on the cross of Calvary, and we are now children of God that are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're different, but the world isn't. We are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. Now, I wish that was original, but that's not original. That's not mine. That was a line that a lady named Barbara Johnson put in a blog that she did. We are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. We are people, as Christians, that are changed. We are changed by the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the world, for the most part, is not. And this is the world that we must live in. The world is living in a day that was Good Friday, with the beating and the crucifixion and the death of Jesus. And many times that's where they remain. In that dismal day when God forsook His only begotten Son and allowed Him to be the sacrifice for our sins. Now understand this, don't misunderstand me. I am not, certainly not suggesting that Good Friday wasn't important. It had to be. It had to happen. We had to have Good Friday so we could have the resurrection. His death provided a means for our salvation. But my point is that there are many people today in this world that they live each and every day that comes along in a life of despair and death and darkness that was Good Friday. They've never moved on. But we as Christians are living our lives in hope and life and light based on the fact that Jesus came out of that tomb alive and is alive forevermore and is coming back one day to receive us, that where He is, we may be also. Amen? This is the world we have to live in. But we don't have to conform to the world we live in. Let me give you an example of this. This past Good Friday, April the 7th, one of the churches in our denomination, Floods Chapel, was vandalized on Good Friday. A 34-year-old woman, her name was Jordan Lara Smith, she pulled up the church's mailbox and began to use it to break the windows in the church. That's a strong woman, pulling up a mailbox. Misguided, but strong. Someone called to report a break-in, and when the police, when the authorities arrived, she was still there breaking windows, and she was arrested. You can see some of the pictures of the damage of that church. Now, the truth be known, that shocks us, does it not? But tell me I'm not wrong about this. It doesn't shock us today as much as it would have 20 years ago. 20 years ago, we would have been aghast. Today, you know what most of our response is? Well, that's the world we live in. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. And it happened on Good Friday of all days. What would possess someone to do something like this? Maybe drugs or alcohol played a part. But this is the type of world that we live in. This is the world that we live in. A church being vandalized at the very time when we celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. We are truly Easter people living in a Good Friday world. Let's look at a few differences between Good Friday and Easter and how this should affect how we live our lives. Good Friday was a day of despair, but Easter was a day of hope. Good Friday was filled with despair. Jesus had been arrested, He'd been tried, He was turned over for beating and crucifixion. And even prophetically, the book of Isaiah reminds us that when His followers saw what He looked like after He had been beaten, He was unrecognizable. It says, we hid as it was our faces from Him. It was bad. It was bad. The people saw Him bear His cross along the Via Dolorosa up to Golgotha's hill until He collapsed under the weight and the stress of it all. They saw him nailed to a cross. They saw him lifted up between heaven and earth. They heard him cry out, the Bible says, with a loud voice, and give up his spirit and die. They saw the centurion take the sword and plunge it deep in his side. They saw him taken down from that cross, wrapped in linen, buried in a tomb. The stone rolled in front of that tomb and it sealed the Messiah. Was gone. In their minds, he was in a tomb where they thought that he would be forevermore. The 11 remaining disciples, they were equally distraught. They ran and hid. They got behind closed doors. They were afraid that if their association with him was linked, they were going to meet the same fate that he did. Their world had been turned upside down. This man that they had given everything to for the last 3.5 years was gone. And even though Jesus had told them, in 3 days I'm going to rise, they didn't believe. And by the way, before we're quick to throw rocks at the disciples, because I am sometimes, I'm thinking, man, they were right there. They saw him heal the lame. They saw him open blinded eyes. They saw him take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed over 5,000 people. Why in the world wouldn't they believe him when he said he's coming back from the dead? But would we? Would we? If I'm honest with myself, I would probably be a skeptic too. These disciples still didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Good Friday was a day of despair for many. And that is where many people of that day, and even up until today, that is where many people remain. Jesus in a tomb, sealed, dead and gone, never coming back again. That's where many people remain. But what a contrast Easter was. Easter was a day of hope. Jesus wasn't in that tomb any longer. He was gone. He was gone. The disciples still hadn't put it together and believed that he had risen from the dead. And you know the story. Later that evening, they were behind closed doors and Jesus appeared to them. Thomas wasn't there, remember? And even when the disciples, his closest friends, his boys, when Thomas showed up, they're looking at him going, Thomas, he's alive. We've seen him. Ask John. Ask Bartholomew. Ask Peter. All of them with the same message. He's alive. He's alive, dude. And Thomas going, I will not believe. Not until I put my fingers in the nail prints and put my hand in his side. 8 days later, we remember what happened, right? 8 days later, they appeared. And you know what? Thomas didn't have to touch the nail prints or put his hand in his side. Thomas saw him and fell at his feet and said, my Lord and my God. You see, Thomas, what he didn't believe, was still living in Good Friday. Thomas was still living in Good Friday. But when he saw the Lord, that day of despair turned to hope. Folks, because Jesus is no longer in a tomb, our days can be filled with hope and not despair. No matter what troubles we have in this world, we know that something better is coming. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Folks, we're troubled by a Good Friday world. But as Easter people, we're not distressed. We're puzzled by a Good Friday world, but we're not in despair. And you know why? Because as Christians, as Easter people, we have a hope of eternal life with Christ because of His sacrifice, His resurrection, and the promise He made to everyone that has Him as His Savior. Jesus says, "And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We are Easter people with hope, living in a Good Friday world of despair. Good Friday was a day of death, but Easter was a day of life. As we discussed a couple of weeks ago on Palm Sunday, people had cheered for Jesus riding into Jerusalem just a week earlier. And now they were demanding His death. They were bloodthirsty. They were bloodthirsty. He had turned on them, or so they thought. Remember what we talked about last week? They saw Him coming in and they just knew He was going to walk right over and overthrow the Romans. But where did He go? He went to the temple. And He overthrew the tables of the money changers and those that were making a profit off of poor people. He upset their apple cart. He challenged everything that they believed, everything that they held dear. He confronted them with their sin. And it angered them. And they looked for a way to get rid of Him. You know, this Good Friday world that we live in, if they don't like something, they will look for a way to get rid of it. Can I tell you this? And I know this is going out on YouTube and everywhere else, but I'm going to say this. The world does not like the church. And I'm telling you, folks, there are things afoot right now on looking for ways to put a foot on the throat of the church. That doesn't mean we need to cower back anywhere. That means we need to stand up strong as Easter people. But they look for ways to get rid of Jesus. Even when Pilate found no guilt in Him, they cried louder for His blood. Let His blood be on us and our children. They would have rather had a murderer back loose walking among them than Jesus to be alive. That's a Good Friday world. Death was desired, and death was attained. Jesus died that Good Friday. Yes, He willingly laid down His life. Yes, He could have stopped at any time that He wanted. Yes, His death was necessary for resurrection to take place. But the people, Satan, they thought they had finally gotten what they desired. Good Friday came and Jesus was now dead. And in their minds, He was going to be unable to trouble them ever again. But they were all so wrong. So wrong. Because Easter Sunday was coming. No longer a day of death, but Easter was a day of life. Jesus was resurrected from that tomb. Things were right with the world once again. He walked out of that tomb with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He came out of that tomb alive with the promise of life, not death, to everyone that accepts His sacrifice, and the gift of salvation that He paid on the cross. His resurrection is proof of Him and who He claimed to be. Not only did He have victory over death, but now we can say it is just as He promised. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." We are Easter people living in the newness of life in a Good Friday world full of death. Good Friday was also a day of darkness, but Easter was a day of light. The Bible says on that day that Jesus was crucified, the world became dark. The sun refused to shine. In my mind, I think the darkest moment was probably when Jesus looked to the heavens, when his Father God had turned his back on him because he couldn't stand to look at the sin his son was bearing for us. I think the darkest moment must have been when Jesus looked to the heavens and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? While he was there taking on all the sins of the world, past, present, and future. For every one of us, Good Friday was a day that was darker than any other in the history of the world. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one that the people had been waiting for, died that very day. Even the elements that he created, the sun, the moon, the stars, they refused to shine. I don't think that's by accident, folks. But can you picture in your mind that morning that he arose? Can you picture that in your mind? The Bible says that when it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. It was still dark. She hadn't seen the risen Lord. But you remember, as we discussed last week, at one point she thought this man that spoke to her was the gardener, but she turned around, and when Jesus called her name, she recognized who he was. I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but I'm just, in my mind, I can almost see when she recognized him and said, Rabboni, I can almost see just the sun. Can't you just see the sun coming up, the birds starting to chirp? It's a new day. It's a far cry from Golgotha's hill on Friday. That day of darkness, this is a day of light. The sun was out because, as David said last Sunday, the sun was out. I won't forget that. I like that. That's one of those 25-cent things that I just love. I imagine what started out as a dark day with her coming to anoint the body of this Jesus that she loved quickly changed to a bright, sunny day when she realized that he was alive and had came back from the dead just as he said he would. All of us have experienced the darkness that comes along with death. Days are dark anytime death invades our lives. But as Easter people, we know that death is not the end. I read a quote one time. I went back and found it. There's no author attributed to this, but the quote was, "The resurrection shows us that death is not the final thing." I've stood with families as they have gone through the death of a loved one, and as tears fall and we give each other hugs, I've had them look at me and say with confidence, "I know I'll see them again." That's living in an Easter world. That's not living in a Good Friday world, folks. That is the sunlight of God's love and his promises shining through in a dark situation. Jesus even reiterated that fact when he said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus also said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." In other words, Paul's saying, walk as Easter people. Jesus is alive. I love what John says in 1 John But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, Miss Helen, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We are Easter people living in light in a Good Friday world full of darkness. Folks, this world is full of despair and death and darkness. And even though we have to live in this world, we do not have to be of this world. And we shouldn't. We should stick out like a sore thumb. People should be able to recognize that there's something different. As our scripture mentioned this morning, we are to be transformed. We're to be a different people. We should be Easter people, full of hope, full of life, full of light in the darkness. We don't just celebrate Easter one day a year. We celebrate Easter every day because it does give us hope. It promises us eternal life. And we walk in the light of life that the resurrection gives to us. This also has an impact on us as a church family. I don't know if you've noticed it lately, but our very name contains the word hope. Our very name contains, and I know it's, we've laughed about this, but in my one calls every week, I usually include a little tagline, you know, a place where hope that does you well. This is a place where hope does you well. And I know it's kind of hokey. I know it is. But you know what? Y'all haven't forgot it, have you? That's okay. It can be hokey. And I will tell you this, it's sound. This should be a place of hope. This should be a place that shines the light of Christ into a world full of darkness and full of sin. This church should be a place where people that come through the doors can find hope that does them well. They can find hope in despair and the death and the darkness of this world. It should be a place that is welcoming for everyone that comes in. In other words, this should be a place when people come in, they recognize it as a place that is not conformed to the world, where they can get whatever flavor of the day they want. But it is something different. I can tell you, I am blessed to be the pastor of this church, and I can tell you, this is a different place. It feels different. It's the fellowship, Miss Helen. It's the music. It's you. It's the love. It's getting together to cook a meal and laughing while we cook it and laughing while we eat it. It's the kids coming for an Easter celebration from 2 to 3. And it's about 5 o'clock before they leave. These young people like Cole a couple of weeks ago, they'll walk up to me after church and say, Pastor Roger, I want to give my heart to Christ. This should be a place that gives a Good Friday world hope that does them well. We must be different, set apart, transformed into the church Christ intended to carry forth the gospel message. I don't know what your situation is. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're listening in from wherever you might be. And this Good Friday world has gotten you down. And by the way, just because you are a Christian and we are Easter people, that doesn't mean that this Good Friday world doesn't get you down from time to time. Sometimes it grinds us down till we are, our faith is shaken. Our next step is uncertain. Maybe you're feeling that this morning. Maybe all you feel is despair. Maybe all you see is death. Maybe all you experience is darkness. I would encourage you to come to this altar this morning or make this commitment wherever you might be to move from Good Friday to Easter. Living as Easter people in a Good Friday world is not easy. But I will tell you this, it's better than living as Good Friday people in a Good Friday world. The Bible's instructions to us, as we read this morning, are for us to be different. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Living as Easter people is so much better. And I can tell you this, you can't make that transition on your own. But it does start with you. It starts with coming to the risen Savior this morning and asking Him to help you change. If you do that, He'll help you. And we too then can say, with the psalmist, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Come this morning. Come this morning and let my Savior take you out of that Good Friday where you've been living with no hope. Which, by the way, He'll take you out of that Good Friday world because my Bible tells me when He came out of that tomb, He overcame the world. And what He will do, He'll bring you into the celebration of His resurrection at Easter. And I'll promise you this, He'll give you hope that does you well. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we love You this morning. And we know You love us. Father, this world continues to change around us. Not for the better. But as Christians, Father, we can have the confidence that You have overcame the world. And we can live, Father, as Easter people in that day of resurrection, knowing that You're alive and well, and You're coming again. Father, if there are any here today listening in, Father, that are living prior to that resurrection, Father, where they're living in this Good Friday world or they have just been pressed down, Father, by everything that this world throws at them. Father, I pray that You would move them into that Easter today that we celebrate each and every day of our life. Father, You would give them hope, that You would give them light, and that You would give them life. Father, this time is Yours, and we look forward to what You're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, our risen Savior, and the One that gives us hope that does us well, we ask all these things. Amen.